Hallelujah. Use your hand again and worship the Lord if you can. Hallelujah. Thank you very much for those comforting words. Very encouraging, soothing. Somebody here who is trying your best to please God, trying your best to live a Christian life. You don't understand what is happening. Just know that he's aware of every situation we are into. Never you think he has turned his back against you for any reason. And always comfort yourself that he answers prayers. But he has his time for everything. God has his season. And that is what we're trying to look at from the last message we preached. We want to continue and see if we can close it today with the title, The Meat in Due Season. And we got that sermon exhortation topic from Matthew 24 and verse 45.
Who then is a faithful and wise servant?
Matthew 24 verse 45, yes.
Whom is Lord that made ruler over
now,
his household?
Listen. This one now is not talking to the ministers. This is now for ministers. Who is that faithful servant? Faithful servant. And remember 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2, then we come
moreover,
back. Moreover, listen.
It is required in stewards.
In stewardship, this is the requirement, that, whether it is from God or from man.
That a man be found faithful.
If you are a steward, there is only one requirement from your master. What is it?
That a man be found faithful.
A man should be found faithful. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Then he asked the question in Matthew 24, verse 45.
Who then is a faithful and wise servant?
Now, if you are truly a faithful and wise servant, this is the assignment for you.
Whom is Lord that made ruler over his household?
That is why me as a pastor, you as ministers, watching, overseeing the church of Jesus Christ, we have a duty. What is it?
To give them meat in due season.
To give them meat in due season. There's a reward for it.
Blessed is that servant. Whom is Lord when he cometh shall
when
find
he
so doing.
Come, when he come, he will find that servant
so doing.
Doing exactly that. What is he doing? Serving the food in due season. And church, this is very, very necessary. Very, very necessary at this point in time. From what some of us have observed, me in particular, and some of the ministers have had reason to discuss with, that from the attitude of some members of this church, an attitude, and some of our followers around the world, I had Brother Lumide saying something. In fact, he reminded me yesterday or so, Friday, that among the ministers that are coming for the International Ministers Conference, one of them said, and I hope you, the minister, you are hearing me now, or whenever you will hear this message. Denominational people are following us, and over 60% of those who have registered for the upcoming International Ministers Conference, over 600 have registered.
Over 600 now.
Now, as at this moment, over 600 have registered. 60% of that are from the denominations. Now, and there's something they have caught. Some have caught it, some have not caught it. One of them is saying he wants to take one of the topics we shall be discussing. And he is Reverend Somebody. And the fact that you are bearing Reverend Somebody lets you know you still need to sit down and learn. You have not caught the message. Brethren, we talk about the end time. Listen, I have defined this before. Listen carefully. There is the end time church. And there is the end time message church. Oh, glory be to God. Hear my English. There is the end time church. Every church that is on now, because we are at the end time, every church is an end time church. Because we are at the end time. But at the end time, there is a message. Hallelujah. To the end time church. Now, those who catch the message, hallelujah, and have responded, they are called end time message believers. Amen and amen. And where such believers gather, that place is called end time message church. Amen. There are people sitting down in this church now. They are not believers of the end time message. And the reason you are not a believer is due to various reasons, but I believe the one that I'm responsible for is that you don't understand, and I want you to understand. You don't understand what we are doing in this ministry. You are seeing the anointing. You are seeing the grace. You are hearing testimonies. And all you do is, you think we are just one of those churches. We are not one of those churches. We have caught a revelation. And we have responded to it. You are the type that find it very difficult to fit in here. You are the one that are troubling us. You are the troubler of Israel. Mixed multitude. But I also know that there are many sitting down here that have caught this revelation. Hallelujah. I believe it. And we have thousands more out there that have caught this revelation so much until they have nowhere to worship. Because that is the effect of this revelation. You can't worship anywhere, anyhow. And the end time message, I have said it. Hallelujah. The end time message. There are ministers that have left this ministry, and by what they are doing there, you just know that they did not catch any revelation, anything. Some of them design their altar like our own. Some of them are finding it difficult to change to this now, so that we will not know that they are follow, because they still put those symbols of our faith that we were erroneously putting before, so that they will look like us. Now the revelation has gone further. They don't know how they will remove it. They are still keeping it there. Listen, church. For any minister at this hour of God's program to still look at ministry as a meal ticket, it is an evidence you have not even heard the message. Now, this is what we try to bring out. For anybody to be in the church, this is what Pastor Olumide was trying to bring out since last week. For anybody to be in the church at this hour that we are in, instead of you to begin to look at your dressing, you are busy finding fault up and down in other believers. You have not yet caught the message. Whatever estate you are in your Christian faith is a function of your revelation of God's agenda. Now, we are talking about due season. Due season here. Hallelujah. Go program. Listen, oh. I don't know why I caught something now, and some people are finding it difficult to catch it. I caught this since 1990. I was only 1 year old in the message. I was about 2 years old as a Christian. And within the, I gave my life to Christ in 1989. By 1990, after I read one message preached by William Branham, my eyes opened fear. Me, I will now go and sit down there, a woman pastor. Then me, I will now sit down. Somebody will say, touch my shoe, and you become a millionaire. Then I go and sit down under a business empire of a man and his wife called church. I know better than that. I know better than to come and sell the anointing. I know better than to play with my eternal destination. And this is what I try to convey to the people. But no matter how you sanitize your house, viruses can still be contacted when you leave the house and you go out. It's you are a function of what you hear and what you see. This is what we try to do. That from the Garden of Eden, when man fell, a program for restoration, redemption began. It's a program, church. It's a program. I am not speaking theology. I am speaking revelation. Yeah. The gospel is from faith to faith. Revelation to revelation. By faith, revelation. By faith, revelation. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice in Hebrew chapter 11 verse 4 than Cain, by which he obtained witness
that he was righteous, yes. God testifying of his gifts
by revelation. The last statement in, I think it's Romans 14:23. That last statement, there's a last sentence there.
And he that doubteth is damned if he eateth, because he eateth not of faith.
The last statement there.
For whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Read it again, the last statement.
For whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Now, what is the meaning of that? What he's saying is that anything you will do concerning salvation, concerning your relationship with God, if it is not by faith, you will do it wrongly. That is the meaning of that statement. Whatsoever that is not of faith is sin. That is, it will not be accepted by God. Because you have to do it according to revelation. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is why we keep stressing and stressing and stressing. And faith come by hearing. Hearing of what? The word of God. If you are going to have faith, you must study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You are a function of what you know. Your spiritual level that you are now is a function of what you know. It's what you know. You can't go beyond what you know. You can't serve God beyond what you know. So therefore, you have to study. And that's why our emphasis in this place, the IT department, you know it. When we began to go into the television, I told the IT department, I said, please, I don't want to be known for any gift. I don't want. I know the grace of God upon me. If I decide to keep dwelling on the anointing, I know. It's not even everything I see I do. I know. I boast in the Lord. I know the grace I have. But listen, the church is not in short demand of anointing. Christianity, anointing everywhere. Therefore, if I have anything to supply to the body of Christ, it should be something that I know the church lacks. Revelation. I say, I want to be known as a teacher of God's word. I want to be known as a teacher of God's word. And there's something very interesting about God. That area that you say you want to measure in, he will give you the anointing for it. And because I want to measure on teaching, he takes me deeper and deeper and deeper into the mystery of salvation. And that is why in this ministry, see the time we give to the preaching of the word.
Hallelujah.
Every Tuesday night, digging deep.
That's right.
Every Saturday, 3 o'clock, Bible club.
Amen.
Sunday school, we start service with the word.
Watch, Saturday night,
rapture watch.
Amen.
Everything, the word, the word, the word. Because we know, hallelujah, that if you are going to move with God, then you need to know what he is doing at any time.
Hallelujah.
William Branham made this statement several times. He said the problem with Christianity, Christians, is that they will always tell you testimony of what God did yesterday,
right,
what he will do tomorrow,
right,
but what he's doing now, they are not able to catch it. And that is the truth.
Amen.
Because there is the season, the time when God is fulfilling his agenda. That time is called season. And remember, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. It's a principle.
To everything, there is a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven.
Everything, in everything, even including your own life, there is a season for everything. There is a season for everything. Everything, everything. Everything is everything. Even the way you bring up your children. There is a time to beat them when they do something. Hallelujah. One sister was telling me how strict she was with her children. And she mentioned that one of them, she was, every time you do, you will slap him. He said, until one day, the guy don't grow up. He said, she carried her hand to slap him. He said, the guy held the hand tower like this. He said, it was paining her. I said, mommy, don't do that. He said, she knew better than not to do it again. Then she looked and said, this boy don't grow. There is a time to beat and there's a time to talk. It's a time to talk. To reason together. Praise the Lord. Listen, because God has his seasons, that is why among the 12 tribes of Israel, there are, you see, this God is very organized. He organized, do you know that he organized a whole tribe? A whole tribe, their own is to minister in the temple. That's all, the Levites. Then, knowing that he has an agenda, then he sent another tribe. What is the name of the tribe, church?
Issachar.
Say it very loud.
Issachar.
We know it. Issachar. First Chronicles chapter 12, read it.
And of the children of Issachar.
The children of Issachar, the tribe of Issachar, there was a special grace God gave them.
Which were men that had understanding of the times. To know what Israel ought to
They
do.
Had what?
Understanding of the times.
They had what?
Understanding of the times.
But other tribes didn't have. But if you look, talk of Judah, all his own is battle, war, fall down and die. Anybody that say, hey, you will not make it this year, what are you waiting for? Die. They are of the tribe of Judah. But there is another tribe. Concerning understanding of what?
Which had understanding of the times. to know what Israel ought to do.
And what happened?
The heads of them are 200, and all their brethren
were their brethren did what?
Were at their commandments.
They were at their commandment. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. If there were no prophets, so a whole tribe. They were not prophets. Oh. They were just an ordinary tribe. Once you are born Issachar, oh, glory be to God. The anointing automatically comes on you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that is why in Matthew 16, and from verse 1, 2, and 3,
the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven.
Uh-huh.
He answered and said unto them,
yes.
When it is evening,
listen.
Ye say it will be fair weather,
uh-huh.
For the sky is red.
Uh-huh.
And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites,
uh-huh.
Ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?
They cannot, because they are not of the tribe of Issachar. And not that they not just that they lacked the Issachar anointing, they rejected that tribe. What grace that tribe had, they rejected it. See, concerning the coming of the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, concerning his coming, he announces it with the signs. In Matthew 24, verse 3, they ask him, what shall be the sign of thy coming? What will be the sign? Because there will be sign. There will be sign. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Listen, church. We know that Jesus is coming soon. That is all we are waiting for.
Amen.
Some of us, we are saying Jesus is coming soon because we have heard other people say, we're only repeating what other people say. But can you prove that he's coming soon? You can only prove when you discern the signs of the time. And so, in John chapter 4 and verse 35, Jesus, God is coming to harvest his people from the earth. Listen.
Say not ye, there are yet 4 months.
Eh?
Say not ye, there are yet 4 months.
Don't you, when he say you, that is you not natural among men, after you planted, how long do you wait for before harvest? Say ye.
There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest.
How many months before harvest?
4 months.
Eh?
4 months.
4 months. There is the four seasons for salvation. There are four seasons for salvation. Mark 13, verse 35.
Watch ye therefore.
And 36.
For ye know not when the master of the house cometh.
You don't know when he will come, but there are 4 months, 4 seasons before he will come. Uh-huh.
At evening.
One.
Or at midnight.
Two.
Or at the cock crowing. Or in the morning.
4 watches. After that, he will come. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Elijah was to be taken away. Why was he not taken away from Gilgal? God wanted to make a prophetic action. From Gilgal. Where did he move to? Bethel. From Bethel, where did he move to?
Jericho.
Eh? Jericho. From Jericho, where did he move to?
Jordan.
Jordan. Then, Jordan. 4 watches and the rapture took place.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And always have this at the back of your mind that there is a divine agenda set by God himself. And it is called the mystery of salvation or the mystery of God. This mystery of God is a mystery, and unless he reveals it to you, you will never know. And there are many Christians today that know nothing about the mystery of redemption. And part of this mystery is what God has given. The knowledge of this mystery is what God has given to his bride in this end time. It is called the end time message. God has a season for salvation, and God has the meat. Spiritual meat in due season here is talking about the work of righteousness. What you should know and what you should do. Oh, glory be to God. What you should know and what you should do. And that's why Jesus Christ in John chapter 4, he was saying that my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. My meat, when he said my meat, that is, this is the meat. We're talking about meat in due season. If he says my meat, yeah, my work is to do, hallelujah, my ministry is to do the will. My meat is to do. Meat is to do. Oh, glory be to God. Not only here, you are to do. The meat here is to do. So, the faithful servant that will give the meat in due season is to tell the people how to be ready for his coming. What shall we do to do the works of God and things like that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, my meat, Jesus Christ said, his meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And they were pursuing him for what they will eat. They saw a miracle yesterday. He turned, fed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread until excess food was left behind. Miracle worker, come and do a miracle today. Come and do a miracle today. You see them. Father, miracle worker. Then these charlatans will say, you want a miracle? Come and touch my shoe. You say in a miracle you want now. The greatest miracle that God can do to a human being is to give you the Holy Ghost. The power that can change a sinner to a saint is the power to make you a son of God, a daughter of God. And that is the greatest problem in Christianity. Now, we are having a Christ that we receive everything from, but we have not submitted ourselves to receive the miracle of conversion. One of the identifications of the end time church is that they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. The Bible says so. I should say it again. I will say it. They have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Godliness without the power of conversion is vain. It's not religion. Another identification, the Bible says, they are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Reverend Doctor, Professor of Theology, ordinary water baptism, they can't understand. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. Hallelujah. They'll be pursuing for what they will eat, pursuing for what they will eat. Jesus turned and looked at them. All of you shouting, Jesus, Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. He's my friend, yeah, my friend. I will never. Amen. He turned and looked at them. You seek me. Not because of the miracle, because of the miracle you received, but because you are hungry, because of the bread you ate. There are people that, you know, worship God only if they have a testimony. There are people that pray only when they have problem. There are people that serve God conditionally. In fact, they give God ultimatum. If at the end of this year I don't marry, anything will happen to me, God, now you sabi. And Jesus answered, oh, please, praise the Lord. You can read that on your own because he broke it down in John chapter 6. If you read it from verse 26, but just paraphrasing, he was emphasizing there. He said, labor, labor for the meat, enduring to everlasting life. Labor. There are different types of labor. Praise the Lord. There are different types of labor. There is a labor that endures to eternity, to everlasting life. Don't serve God only for what you will get from him here on earth. If you are going to labor, the only reason why you are doing what you are doing, serving God the way you are serving, it is because you have looked beyond what you can get on earth here. There is something better ahead. Such people, nobody can discourage you. That is why they said that for we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith here is a revelation. Why are you always going to church? Always going to church. Why are you not having boyfriends like others? Why are you not going to drink alcohol? Why have you stopped alcohol? Olumide, why are you no more in Facebook? Because every day before, you were spending 12 hours on Facebook, either liking or comment or sharing, or that is what you are laboring for. Hours. Laboring. Why did you stop? Don't bother to explain to anybody. Amen. The problem most Christians have is that you bother yourself trying to explain your faith. They will discourage you. They will never understand. Why? Because it's a personal revelation with a personal walk with God. Hallelujah. Personal walk with God. And everybody around you will soon know you. Everyone around you will soon know you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember I shared this testimony a few years back. A colleague of mine and a very close friend was in charge of this armed forces. This is their, what do they call it? Atoshodi. Resettlement Center. And they finished one session and they were going to have Thanksgiving service. He knows me to be a pastor. He knows. Anywhere you are, declare who you are. We used to do all the bad things together. But something happened. And I turned my back to that old lifestyle. I don't have to bother to explain to them. But they, of course, when you make that decision, they will be policing you. They will be checking you. They will be, you know. I go to Abuja. Anyway, he asked me to come and minister to them, that I went there with my wife. And it was after the service, they were all very blessed. And after the service, the vicar in charge of the parish there went to him, said, "Oga, it's your friend that came to minister to us today. How much do you think we should give him for coming?" He told me this later. He said, he told them, say, it's not that type of pastor, this one. I love that testimony. I didn't tell him I don't take money. I never told him that. But he was watching you. He said, it's not that type of pastor. If you give him, he will not take it all. I didn't know that they went behind. They had went to maybe try to give my wife also. And of course, she won't take it. And then he told me, I said, how do you know I will not take it? He said, I know. I know you will not take it. I was happy. Praise the Lord. That's my identity. And I love everybody. Not that I don't like money. But let it not be my identity. I've gone to some other places, they gave me money. I collected. But that you have to give me because you think you must give me. Praise the Lord. Because of course, in giving me, I know they will also be blessed. But that offering has been bastardized. Before you invite a gospel musician, you will negotiate how much you will pay. Before you invite a pastor, you will negotiate how much you will pay. I saw a text they sent to Sister Marachi, inviting her to a program and saying, please, let's know your condition. How much? See how Christianity has been bastardized. Labor. Labor for that meat, for that work. That endure to everlasting life. And that is the bread of life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They have a zeal unto God, but not according to knowledge. Unknown to them, praise the Lord, that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. God had entered another season. They were still holding to the former season. Praise the Lord. God had already finished with Moses. He's now with Christ. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And that is why Christ is referred to as the chief cornerstone. Because he's the one that will determine the movement from one stage to the other. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're expected to move with him. He said, if you continue in my word, there must be continuation, because we move from stage to stage. Before you know what, many Christians are doing God a service without it being the will of God. And that is the kind of ministries that dominate everywhere. I preach a message that I titled The Due Order. 30,000 revival, but God was not among them because they were not carrying the ark according to the Bible specification. It's called the due order. I think that is one of the best sermons I've ever preached. To tell the people to know how to do ministry work and how to serve God. Why would somebody be doing casting devil? Cast that devil, do mighty miracles, signs and wonders, and Jesus will say, I didn't even know you. A serious matter. Praise the Lord. That's why I preach that message. Is Jesus with you? See, we are in the end time. Hallelujah. And there are certain things that we must let the people know. I preached another message a few years back. I titled Running Without a Message. And that is that character, Ahimaaz. Hallelujah. Ahimaaz. Can we talk about it a little bit? In 2 Samuel chapter 18 or so. Listen. We all know rebellious Absalom. The son of David. David loved him so much. But he went into rebellion and was fighting battle. And the key part warriors, Joab. Joab, the general of the army of Israel, led the people to battle. Anyhow, hallelujah, Absalom was killed in the battlefield. Now, hallelujah, message has to be sent to the king. Read from verse 19.
Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok.
Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok.
Let me now run. Let me now run.
They didn't send for him. Oh. He came on his own. God call me, God call me. There are different types of call. Oh. There are people that call themselves. God didn't call you. Oh. Ahimaaz. Read up, please.
Let me now run.
Let me now run.
And bear the king tidings.
Let me take the message. Let me take the message to the king.
How that the Lord had avenged him of his enemies. And
Joab is looking at, you see why he was not qualified? Because the son of David can never be David's enemy. So he was going with the wrong spirit. How can you deliver the message of the death of a man to him and call, and that man is a man, is that man loves that boy, that son so much, and you are going to give the message to say your enemy don't die, your enemy don't die? He has no message. He was not qualified. Read on.
And Joab said unto him,
Joab, the general of the army of David, said unto him,
thou shalt not bear tidings this day.
This type of message is not for your ministry.
But thou shalt bear tidings another day.
Don't worry. When the Midianites and the Moabites and the Philistines die, you are qualified for that type of message.
But this day thou shalt bear no tidings.
Because the king's son is dead. Please read on. Let them know the story.
Then said Joab to Cushi.
Now, it is now the appointed one. Now Joab knows who can do it. And he now went to Cushi.
Go tell the king what thou hast seen.
Now you go with the message. Go and preach the message. They are the ones that will make success of this message. Go on.
And Cushi bowed himself unto Joab and ran.
And began to run. Oh yeah, the story continued.
Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab.
Again, by himself.
But howsoever, let me.
I know that God didn't call me to be a pastor, but I must be a pastor.
Let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushi.
Let me also have my ministry.
And Joab said, wherefore will thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings?
You have no message. Ordinary water baptism, you can't explain it.
But howsoever, said he, let me run.
And he said, I can see vision.
And he said,
however it is, let me start my ministry. Go on.
And he said unto him,
okay,
run.
Now. Oh yeah, now. Permissive will.
Then Ahimaaz.
Permissive will. Did God tell you? Yes. I heard the Lord. The Lord said I should go and start my own.
Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain.
See the way he ran. Go ahead.
And overran Cushi.
He overran Cushi. Oh, glory be to God. The person that was sent, the one that did not have message, overtook the one that has a message. This is a complete picture of the end time church. Who are those making waves now in Christianity? Are people who say, God call me, but have no end time message. See the ministry they have. Continue first.
And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall.
He was in expectation. David has been in expectation. He sent watchmen to bring news. What happened? What happened? Has the guy surrendered? Has he surrendered?
And lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone.
There is a man that was running alone. Go ahead.
And the watchman cried and said and told the king. And the king said, if he be alone.
If he is alone.
There is tidings in his mouth.
Because that is the identity of a true servant of God. He runs alone. His revelation He's God doesn't call him together with his wife. God did not call him. If he was running with his wife, then he has no message. If he was running with his children, they have no message. Okay, so that you will know the type of churches now we have in this end time. Oh, why am I digressing now? Oh, but because somebody should hear this thing. Spiritual food in due season. Meat in due season. Go on.
And he came apace and drew near. Uh-huh. And the watchman saw another man running.
And then the watchman saw another man again running.
And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bring
if he is alone, he also. Hallelujah. Now listen very well. Two men are running and they are all running alone. But there's going to be a difference. The message. Okay, read on.
And the watchman said,
yes,
me tickets that the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz,
hey,
the son of Zadok.
He is known. He is already known. He must be the one. I must prophesy whether I have message or not. How can I come to church and it's only it's only Elvis Matt that is preaching. Me too. Pastor, I want to preach. Okay. Oh. You want to preach? Oh yeah, no. Call a microphone. Preach, read on for me.
And the king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings.
If it is who? If it is Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, he must be a good man. I know him because he's a very good soldier. His gift is perfect. If whatever it is, praise the Lord. See, it's not, it's see, there are some revelations that prophets in this church, they see, they don't give it. They will come to me because they know I will give the revelation better than them. There are some revelations they will say, no, it is pastor that will give this. It's not me. Where they are properly brought up. Anyway, let's finish the story of Ahimaaz.
And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king,
I have already preached this message in detail. You can look for it in our tape archives. It is titled Running Without the Message. Yes?
And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well.
Can you see the message? The son of a king is dead. Bad news. He's standing before the king. If he hears it, he can fall down and die. And you are coming to say, all is well. Is that not the sermon among the Pentecostals now? All is well. The Lord is good. Meanwhile, judgment is coming. All will be there. Each one receiving
costly still.
This is the message.
Hide in the same cleansing blood.
This is the message.
And I will pass.
I will pass
over you.
Hallelujah. The world is crumbling. Imminent destruction hanging over the world. Superpowers are now at the verge of releasing nuclear weapons. America, the Bible in Revelation chapter 13, call it a beast. It's trying to destabilize the world. Looking for trouble everywhere. Responsible for what is happening in Russia and in Ukraine. Now they are going to China. And China warned them, you will regret it. The whole world won demo. The whole world won demo. They still went there. And people, instead of us to begin to say, hey, what type of sermon will we be preaching at this time? Secretary General of United Nations, I heard him last week. He said, this whole world is only a trigger away from annihilation. All the weapons are set. Just touch a button and the whole world, and the whole world is finished. Just touch it. Just touch it. You can imagine. Nuclear. When we say nuclear, we mean nuclear. Not atomic. In Hiroshima, have you been in that place in Japan? And Nagasaki, have you been at Nagasaki? America dropped that bomb there. In one minute, they finished 300,000 human beings. In less than one minute. 300,000. They say, under the ground, potato that was under the ground fried. And the effect is still on now. That one was atomic bomb. They have gone beyond atomic. They have not gone to nuclear. Nuclear is more deadly than atomic. They will throw it in United Kingdom. Africa will shake to pieces. And people who are preachers are saying it is well. Read on, brother.
And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And
what did he say?
All is well.
It's all well. He was running without a message.
And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God.
Now listen to what happened when he came to give the message. Ahimaaz's message.
Blessed be the Lord thy God, which had delivered the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king.
Can you see? Go ahead.
And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe?
Is the young man Absalom safe? That is what he wants to hear.
And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant.
See, hear his message.
And me, thy servant.
Eh? When what?
When Joab sent the king's servants and me, thy servant.
Did he send him?
I saw a great tumult.
What did he see?
A great tumult.
Uh-huh.
But I knew not what it was.
Can you imagine that? So what was all the running you were running for? Church, it's not about him as, it's a type of the preachers of these days. The message you have is a message of the season. Anything beyond that, you have no message. And if you read on, that is when the man that was called to do the job brought the message. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Doing God a service without it being his will, he will not back you up. Therefore, if anybody, any church you go to, any minister, pastoring anywhere, Church of Jesus Christ, Bride of Jesus Christ, listen. Number one identification of a God called man is the message. And the message must be a reflection of the season. If not, it has no value whatsoever to your spiritual life. In Exodus chapter 16, we read it last time. The manna that fell, the law was, the manna for yesterday, don't eat it today. Because it will become stale. It will not give you strength again. But the children of Israel still went to gather it. So what will happen? The spiritual estate is obvious. Talk about laboring and laboring in vain. Because at the end, he will tell you, I never knew you. He spoke concerning those very religious Pharisees and Sadducees. His conclusion concerning them, he said, in vain. They are worshiping God, though, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine commandment of men. Teaching commandment of men. He spoke about vain philosophy. People are teaching philosophy instead of teaching revelation by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is how Israel missed Jesus. They missed Jesus because they could not understand. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. What happened in the Old Testament? Moses himself prophesied Deuteronomy chapter 18. Maybe let's read it. Deuteronomy chapter 18 from verse 15. Very instructive here. The Jews, that's why we say study, study, study.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from
the
midst.
And when I say study, there are various means of studying. So don't say I didn't go to school. I cannot read. I have eye problem. If you have eye problem, you don't have ear problem. Go and listen to the tape messages. You should be the one that will be early in the church to hear the Bible study. Go back to past issues and listen to them. They are all recorded now. Read it from verse 15.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet.
It's a prophecy.
From the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me.
Uh-huh.
Unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desires of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly.
At Horeb, something happened that made them to desire that. So, read on.
Saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have all spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it.
He was talking of another season. For now, he was speaking through Moses. Moses was telling them, there is a reason. Listen, this is very interesting. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, from verse 22, something happened at Horeb.
These words the Lord spake unto you, unto all your assembly,
yes,
in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stones, and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of
now
the darkness.
Now before verse 23, listen. God came down, assembled the children of Israel, told Moses, bring all of them. I want to speak to these people. But when the presence of God came, the fire, the earthquake, the glory that came down brought fear of them upon them. And so they cried. Hey, Moses, go and let him be talking to you. Then you come and talk to us. Let's read on now, verse 23.
And it came to pass, yes, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness.
You heard the voice of God out of the midst of the darkness.
For the mountain did burn with fire.
That was what happened that day.
That ye came near unto me.
You Israel, you came to Moses.
Even all the heads of your tribes and your elders.
Uh-huh.
And ye said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness.
They saw his glory and his greatness.
And we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire.
They even heard the voice out of the midst of the fire.
We have seen this day that God doth talk with
man.
And he liveth.
This is evidence God is alive. He liveth. Now therefore,
why should we die? For this great fire will consume us.
Uh-huh.
If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore,
uh-huh,
then we shall die.
Because if we hear that voice anymore, what will happen? He said, you say, you will die. So because of it, hallelujah, They say, if you want to talk to us now through Moses, through the prophets. That is why God decided to be talking to Israel only through the prophet, because if he come to this carnal people in his glory, they will die. That was for that season. The new season, which is called grace, was a prophesy. That prophet that Moses spoke about was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why Apostle Paul put it this way in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3.
God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, at in this last day,
this is it now,
spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world.
Now, go on.
Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person.
You see what God did. Instead of him to come in his glory, he created a man. So that he can, through him now, talk in this new season, talk to his people. Now, listen, church. This is important that you catch this point, that this was written in the Bible, written in the law, but when it was fulfilled, they didn't catch it. Each time there is a season when God is now moving in his divine agenda for salvation, not too many people catch it. Not to them, Christ is the end of the law. That is why, for righteousness, that is why we have now the new covenant, the new testament. And in Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 5, all he tried to explain there is to let, Paul was explaining how that Christ came and ended all those sacrifices you were offering for sin. No more, your sins are no more remitted through any sacrifice of any goat, of any cow. For our sin, the sacrifice for sin has now been fulfilled in this season. It is the season of grace. The season. God has his seasons, and those under the law, Israel, missed it. And you see what had befallen them. Now also, like they moved, and there were a mixed multitude in the garden of, in the journey in the wilderness. He said, let my people go. They were going to the promised land. Each time God is moving, it is always a mixed multitude. Therefore, there will be seasons. When you go to the farm and you plant your seed, there will be, before you know what, once rain falls, it will not be only the seed that you planted there that will grow. Everybody knows that law. There will be grass. We call it grass, but the Bible calls it tares. And it is worse if it is deliberately planted there. Because they are there, there are seasons where the farmer will go to do weeding. Church, in the agenda of salvation, there is weeding time. To remove all the nyama nyama that are choking the growth of the true seed of God. Something will happen. But usually this will happen. He said, there must be heresies among you so that those who are approved may be made manifest. A breeze will just blow. Wind of doctrine can just blow. It is within. It is not yet separation. No, the separation season is coming. This one is still weeding to allow the wheat to grow. Because as long as these carnal people are in the church, the true seed of God will not grow spiritually. When two people are gathering, instead of you to talk about the last sermon that the preacher preached, members of the same church talk revelation, talk about what God showed me. They are talking about one gossip that is going on concerning a brother. concerning a sister, concerning this, concerning that, concerning, and they don't know. It is all the ministry of theirs. Because there is nothing there that is adding any value to your spiritual life. Nothing. And people don't know it. Therefore, God has a season that he will cause a wind to blow and the shaking will be going on. It is for everybody to manifest himself. So that some people will give way. That's why some people will leave a church like this. We that are grounded, when they leave, we know why they have to leave. Of course, they can stumble the genuine ones who will also leave. But God knows how to keep them safe. They will come back if this is where it's ordained for them. And let me use this opportunity to tell you that there is always an appointed place that God will meet with you. You better take note of that. There is always, God has an appointed place for every one of us. There are some people that Bride Assembly Church is the appointed place for you. And there are people sitting down in Bride Assembly who belong to prayer group, who are even ministers, who are workers in the church here, and this place may not be the place God has appointed for you. And once you discover that this is not the place for you, don't joke with your life. You can never prosper here. When I say prosper, I'm not talking of the number of cars you will buy. This is not a prosperity church. This is a church leading people to heaven. I'm talking about spiritual, the prosperity of the soul. We are talking about the prosperity of the soul. If you are here and your spiritual life has not changed for good, this is not the appointed place for you. Or God brought you here and you are not ready to let him fulfill the purpose for bringing you here. There is season, according to the Bible, for gathering. That is why the last ministry that will take place, there are seven parables in Matthew 13. That is why you have the last parable, which is the seventh parable, which is the parable of the seventh church age. And that is the season that is going on now. It's the fishing net parable in Matthew chapter 13, verse 47.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net, yes, that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels,
you see,
but cast the bad away.
Okay,
so now shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire.
That is, there will be the gathering time, and then, because it is end time, it is no more weeding. It is now separation. Separation for the group that will go to heaven, and the group that will go to hellfire. And it is an end time ministry. And it is a season. And church, this is the season for the separation. That is what he spoke in Matthew 13 and verse 30 concerning the wheat and tares.
Let both grow together until
the
harvest.
The wheat and the tares. He said, let them grow together until the harvest, which is the end time.
And in the time of harvest, yes, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares.
What are they to do?
Gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles. But gather the wheat into my barn.
Oh, glory be to God. Go to verse 47. That is where we just read earlier. That is what is fulfilling. It's okay. It's Matthew 3, verse 12. That's why he said he has a fan in his hand. Jesus has a fan in his hand and he will thoroughly purge the flock. That is also a ministry. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For the past 3 or 4 years, we have been hammering on making the people understand the season that we are in now, using the corn plant parable that Jesus Christ gave in Mark chapter 4 from verse 26. You will see 4 stages there.
And he said, so is the kingdom of God. Uh-huh. As if a man should cast seed into the ground, uh-huh, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First, the blade.
It's the story of the church, oh. And that is the response to the shout. Okay. The first thing that will come out of the dark ages, the restoration ministry. It is restoration ministry. What's the first thing that comes out?
First, the blade. Uh-huh. Then the ear. Uh-huh. After that, the full corn in the ear. Uh-huh. But when the fruit is brought forth,
that is the fourth stage, the perfecting ministry.
Immediately.
The fruit is brought forth. Then immediately what happened?
He put it in the sickle.
Why?
Because the harvest is come.
That is what you see on the screen. If you make it bolder, we will see it clearly. Thank you. The corn, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the church. It was produced at sown, hallelujah, at Pentecost. That's what you are seeing there on the screen. It died producing the dark ages. But the Lord himself would descend with a shout. That is when all that was corrupted and died at Nicaea, according to Matthew 13 verse 33 parable, we all know it. The whole works of grace, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and all the other doctrines corrupted. But it is time for restoration of the seed, the church that was planted at Pentecost, that we see in the Acts of Apostles and the New Testament. Now, show it again, please. What is the first thing that comes out?
Blade.
The blade. And that is who God used, Luther, to bring justification, the doctrine of justification. After that, what happens? The next season was what? The ear, John Wesley. The next season was, look at it as it's growing. Look at it as it's growing. The next season was the restoration of the gifts in 1906. Using that black man, Simon. Then the fruit producing the perfecting ministry. William Marion Branham. Now look at the way it goes. Do you notice how the color of that plant kept changing? The life that was in that seed that died was moving. And after it has moved from one season to the other, it is yesterday's food. It is no more needed. The color will change. Where he God is, it becomes green. That is the season. And there is a job to be done within that time. There is the revelation for that season. Finally, can you see that by the time it comes to the perfected stage, where the rapture, the harvest is about to take place, can you see that the plant completely has changed color? No more life. Why? The whole life is now inside the fruit to be harvested. What will happen to those denominations that refuse to move with the truth? You pack them, you clear them away, so that all the nyamanyama will go for the next agenda of God on earth here. They'll be burnt with the fire. You see why we keep screaming that this mystery of redemption is deep, very, very deep. I repeat, very, very deep. People will not understand it. This is the way William Branham put it. People are not catching what season we are in now. In a message that he preached in 1965, he titled that message, God's Only Provided Place of Worship. That was the title of that sermon. But in paragraph 90 of that message, this is what he said. Well, I'm quoting. That's the way it is in this age that we are living in. You've got to find what is God's way of doing it for this age. He's talking about season. That's what Martin Luther found, his season. That's what John Wesley found. That's what the Pentecostals found in their age. And listen to me. This is where I have quarreled with them. Why did you call Luther? You gave it name. Wesley, you gave it name. Then Pentecostal. Didn't God use a man for Pentecost? For Pentecost. Test of sincerity. Praise God. And I'm pointing it out to them. They are all blind. When you see blind people, God used a man to restore the first one. God used a man to restore the second one. The third one, God used a man. Why are you not calling his name? Pentecostal. Well, he said, the Pentecostals found their age. I say, hallelujah. He said, God's age and the time to do it. That's what William Brown said. God has his age and time to do it. But he went for that in paragraph 91. He said, now, the Pentecostals, this is where he broke it down. That brother, one of his eyes was out. Because William Simon had one eye, he lost one of his eyes. He said, a colored brother, that's how they call blacks. At that time of William Branham, America was completely racist. That's why they wouldn't give the glory to a black man. He said, one of his eyes was out, a colored brother who really started the Pentecostal message in California. This is thus say William Branham. He said it himself. I repeat, in case enter-message believers, you didn't hear this, listen to it again. One of his eyes was out, a colored brother who really started the Pentecostal message in California, the old Azusa Street. Listen, he said, he was laughed at because he was a Negro, black man, Negro. He was made fun of, but he brought a message for that age. Who is he talking of? William Seymour. Show me Seymour, you are showing me Abraham. I'm talking about William Seymour. Just a little body, a fellow could hardly sign his own name, but the Lord had revealed to him that this was the age for the restoration of those gifts. And they come. No matter what they say, it come. But everybody got it. This is where the problem is. But everybody got in the atmosphere of it and seen it was that age. And seeing God vindicated that those people could speak with tongues and so forth, it happened. But this is what the problem is. But then, when he went and pinned it down, that this is the only evidence that killed it, that did it, then they started separating this, that, and making denominations. And one is coming on a club, and the other coming on the bush. And oh my, there it goes. Because after that, there will be another age. And this is what he said. Praise the Lord. In another message that he titled, What is the Holy Ghost? He preached in 1959. This is what he said. Luther walked in one light. Wesley walked in another. Wesley walked in one light. Pentecost. Instead of William Seymour, he said Pentecost. Walked in another. But we, glory be to God. He said, but we are walking on higher than that today. And if there's another generation, it will go beyond us. Thus said William Branham. Because God is always moving. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I know why they get confused with the ministry of William Branham. I'm talking about spiritual food in due season. William Branham made a statement that in 1933 that he was baptizing the 17th person in Ohio River, and a light came upon him with witnesses around the riverbank, according to his own testimony. And he said a voice spoke to him as John the Baptist was sent to forerun my first coming. So are you given the message that shall forerun my second coming. Church, Bride of Christ, You are hearing this quote through me. This quote has been twisted, but I am untwisting it. So listen carefully. John the Baptist, hallelujah, that statement, that testimony that he gave is a scriptural testimony. All those arguing, whatever concerning it, whatever you say, we bring it to the scripture. Hallelujah. Jesus is to come three times. He came the first time to pay the price of redemption. He's coming the second time to redeem, to go in the rapture, take away those he has redeemed, and he will come the third time to take over the earth and rule. His first coming, there was a ministry that prepared the mind of the people, prepared the heart of the people to receive him. He's always having a witness to everything he does. Now we're expecting his coming. There will be a ministry that also will prepare the people to receive him. What is that ministry? It is the ministry of perfection. What is the ministry of William Branham? All this Elijah thing and all this, we have placed them in proper perspective, scriptural perspective. Elijah is not, no revelation, no scripture that tells us that Elijah ministry for the Gentile church. There is no such scripture. Eh? You are hearing me now. There is no promise of Elijah to the church of Jesus Christ. I have corrected that error that I even preached years back. The Elijah is for Israel. The Elijah ministry comes after the rapture has taken place. And I have proved it in the Bible. Listen again. Anybody that tells you that William Branham is the fulfillment of Revelation 10:7 is unscriptural. Anybody that tells you Malachi 4, 5, and 6 is for William Branham is unscriptural. This is the ministry of William Branham, and it ends with the rapture. He opened the perfecting ministry. And the perfecting ministry is not one man. It is the fivefold ministry. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Praise the Lord. Very controversial. They have abused me, but they cannot challenge me. I said, bring your Bible and show me. Where did you get that? Attempts to close the ministry of William Seymour. God has a ministry for black men too. No matter how it is, if I were with this depth of revelation I have, if I were a white man preaching these things God has been showing me for the past 4 years, there would have been a big movement all over the world. But anything from Africa, they will kill it. But you can't stop God. The foundation of God standeth sure. When he wants to do his program, he doesn't look at any human being. He doesn't consult anybody. That one that you call Negro was the one he chose. And you can't stop it. The history is there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And for John the Baptist, hallelujah. I repeat, John the Baptist. For on his first coming, the ministry of perfection spearheaded by that man, William Marion Branham, is the ministry that will forerun the second coming of Jesus Christ. You refuse yourself to be perfected. That is the trimming of the lamb. What is the work we ministers have to do? The ministry that we have to do, Hindubisi, it's not family deliverance. So the ministry that we have to do, Apostle Onya, the ministry that we have to do is not prosperity. Elvis Smart, the ministry that we have now is not ministry. Every Wednesday, gather people and be seeing vision for them. Oh, Elvis Smart. You can come. They call it interdenominational. I only gather and use the gift that God gave me. Every gift God gave you is to attract the people to receive the meat in due season. What is the attraction on the mountain? Why is crowd leading to that? Then we are going to hear that man of Galilee. What is he saying? He began to give them the beatitude. He was not doing miracle signs and wonder. He was teaching them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those that hunger for righteousness, they shall be. Blessed are they that they blessed are they blessed and blessed and blessed. He was teaching them, and crowd were following. It was not miracle signs and wonder. Miracle signs and wonder attracted them, but when they come, they receive the meat in due season. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When next we come, we will talk about the foolish virgins. And they are sitting down, even in brother assembly. And they were in every age. What made them foolish? So that you will know why the Bible says, he who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. Can we stand up? Hymn number 69 is our prayer. Open my eyes that I may see. Because some have eyes they cannot see. They have ears they cannot hear. The Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Remember, we have thought about the pool. It's pulling from earth to glory. It's from stage to stage to stage. And it is with a shout. The rain that is falling now, listen, if you are going to be part of the rain, it is a rain that causes you to begin to position yourself. That rain, it does something. It gives you a hunger for righteousness. Evidence that this rain that is falling now, called the latter rain, on you is that there is something inside of you that is making you wanting to know him the more. Wanting to walk according to his will. There is something around you that is hungering to know him. Truth, 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 truth. And when it strikes you, it causes a revival inside of you. Brethren, it is the children's meat, healing, deliverance, and all that. It's automatic. When we gather here, there must be healing. There must be healing. There must be deliverance. God will prophesy to us. We shall hear prophecy. But we don't mature on that. Because what has been given to you, why are you wasting time again? You already have it. Keep it and look for the one you don't have. Labor for the meat that will lead you to eternal life, everlasting life. That's why we see that song say, give me, open my ear that I may hear. That I may hear. Elijah, go and wait for me at the mountain. Small time, breeze blew. Wow! What happened? Hey! Power, God don't come. But as he looked very well, God was not there. God was not in the fire. God was not in the wind. God was not in the earthquake. Where was God? It's a voice. There is a message that follows all the fire that fall down. There must be a message. If you didn't hear from God, then God has not yet come. Wait for him. The fire, take it, pour, you fall down, praise God. But God is not yet. It is announcing the coming of God. You feel fire all around you, praise God. God is interested in you. Therefore, open your ear to hear why he's pouring fire on you. God is not interested in pushing you to fall down now, coordinator. God is not interested in pouring fire in you. He's using that to call your attention. Get ready. There is a message. There is a message. There is a message. When you open your eye, you see him. He's not entertaining you. There is a message. What is the message in that church? What is that man preaching? What is he saying? If at this season, all he's saying is all is well. Hey, he has no message. That is another Ahimaaz. So we sing this song. 152. I'll be sure we are listening. When he calls for me, I will hear. I'll be sure we are listening. If you will also hear, then clap your hands. You should rejoice now. He said, come up here. Come and see. Come up, come up, come up. That's the pool. Oh. Everybody now. Oh,
when the Savior goes on, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear.
Wait, wait. What happened? I talk anybody. Eh? Okay. You don't want to shake too much so that you will hear him. You don't want to, so that you hear it. It's not a physical posture. It's a posture of the heart, of the mind, humility, obedient heart, and instead of the heart, where he leads me, I will follow. I will go with you wherever he says go, I will go. Forget that one that they said, don't dance too much, you will lose your sanctification. There is nothing like that. That's the doctrine of that church, not the doctrine of the church of Jesus. Fire is on you. You are holding like, who can contain fire? When God himself is shaking you with the fire, so that you will comport yourself. Oh, this shaking, where they say, Father, here am I, send me. What do you want to tell me? Bring out your offering. Bring out your offering. As you sing that song, hallelujah. Rejoice, because we have a blessed assurance. You will not be in this church if you are not going to be part of the rapture. He brought you here for a purpose. Your Just open your heart. Open your ears. Everybody shall be anointed. Everybody shall be anointed. Everybody shall be anointed. I'll place my hand on the screen also. Everybody now. Oh,
when the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. Hey. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere.
Condition.
When he calls,
when he calls me,
see, if my robe is white, I will hear him.
Oh,
if my robe is white, when he calls me, I'll be somewhere, listening for my head.
Clap your hands. Let me hear your hands. Oh, yes. How many people want to pay your tithes? Dance to the altar. Let your hand be anointed. The source of that tithe shall never dry.